Imagine walking into a highly secure post office.
Okay.
You hand over a heavily locked package, and you just walk straight out.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody asks for your ID. Nobody asks for a return address. You don't, sign up for some kind of rewards program.
None of that friction.
Exactly. And the very second that package is delivered to its destination, the post office essentially just burns all records that you were ever even there.
That is quite the visual.
Right. Well, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are directly welcoming you, the listener, to an exploration of exactly that scenario. But for our digital lives, we are looking at how we share data in the modern age, specifically unpacking the philosophy of temporary data and the benefits of keeping a minimal digital footprint.
And it's such a critical shift in perspective, because for the last 2 decades, the default setting of the internet has essentially been to just save everything forever.
Yeah, hoard it all.
Right. Every app, every service, it's all built on this assumption that data should be accumulated, stored, and attached to your persistent user identity. But today, we're analyzing a completely different structural paradigm.
We really are. And to guide this exploration, we've pulled a stack of sources for you. We have a platform overview presentation and some detailed website excerpts from a service called Let's Send.
Yeah, if you've seen them around, you'd probably recognize their minimal bluebird logo.
Exactly. And their whole core promise is just simple private file sharing. So, okay, let's unpack this. In an era where literally every app wants you to create an account, build a profile and keep your data forever, what if the ultimate security and convenience actually lie in platforms that are explicitly designed to forget you?
I mean, that framing fundamentally challenges the established business models of the web right there. And to understand how it mechanically works, we really have to look at the point of entry. Before we even talk about how data disappears, we have to talk about how it enters the ecosystem in the first place.
Let's do it. Because Let's Send's core motto, which is just plastered all over their materials, is zero friction, maximum payload.
Right.
And they back that up right away in their free tier. So users can instantly stage and drop up to 5 GB of data with a volume limit of 10 files a day.
Which is pretty substantial for a free utility.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But the detail that really alters the whole user experience is that there are absolutely zero accounts required to use the service. Like, none. And all of these transfers are 100% end-to-end private.
And we need to unpack what zero accounts required actually means from an architectural standpoint, because, it goes way beyond just saving you 30 seconds of typing in an email address and a password.
Right, it's not just a convenience feature.
Exactly. Asking for an account is the foundational act of creating a permanent data trail. When a system forces you to log in, it is tethering your persistent identity to your temporary activity.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, by deliberately stripping away that account requirement, the platform is enforcing a minimal digital footprint right at the door. You aren't a registered citizen of their database. You are just a transient user of a utility.
Which ties perfectly into that end-to-end privacy claim they make.
Yeah.
I mean, a term gets thrown around so much, but in this specific no-account context, how does that mechanism actually function? Like, if I just drag and drop a massive video file into my browser, what is literally preventing the platform's own servers from scanning it?
Yeah, so when we say the system acts as a blind courier, we are really talking about where the encryption happens.
Okay.
Because in a standard cloud storage model, you upload your file and the server encrypts it on their end. So they hold the lock and they hold the key.
Meaning they could look at it if they wanted or were pressed to.
Mathematically speaking, yes. But with true end-to-end privacy, the encryption keys are generated locally, right there in your web browser, before the data ever travels over the network.
Oh, wow. So it's scrambled before it leaves my computer.
Exactly. The file is turned into unreadable ciphertext on your machine. So the platform itself, like the servers, the engineers at Let's
Yeah.
Send DAC, they literally cannot view the contents of the payload. They are just moving a locked box from point A to point B.
Without ever possessing the key to open it,
Exactly.
which honestly perfectly explains the incredibly simple workflow they outline in the presentation. They call it the outbound flow, and it's just three distilled steps. Step one is drop. You literally just drag and drop your files into the browser, staging that 5 GB payload instantly.
Right.
Step two is destination. You choose the routing. You can send it via email to up to three recipients, or you can generate a universally shareable link.
And notice what is entirely missing from that flow. There is no verification loop.
Oh yeah, you're not checking your inbox for a 6-digit code before you can proceed.
Right.
You just move straight to step three, which is dispatch. You add a custom title, maybe a quick message, and you hit transfer. The friction is essentially zero because the platform doesn't need to know who you are.
They only care about what you are sending and where it is going.
Right. So we've eliminated the permanent user account to protect the sender's identity. But doesn't that create kind of a fascinating new problem?
How do you mean?
Well, if there's no account managing the files and no dashboard where a user logs in to, you know, delete their old transfers, how do you prevent those files from just floating around in the digital ether forever?
Yeah. They need a life cycle.
Yeah.
Because if the sender is ephemeral, the data has to be ephemeral too.
Exactly. And the sources frame this under the banner of your cargo, your rules, which basically means the platform shifts the responsibility of data management directly to the transfer itself.
Right.
You can gatekeep your downloads by requiring the recipient to enter a password, which acts like a secondary localized key.
Yeah.
But the core mechanism they use is the expiration date.
And this is where we really get into the philosophy of temporary data.
Yeah.
Users are required to set an exact lifespan for their link.
Yeah. On the free tier, you choose to have your links expire in either 3 days or 7 days.
And if you upgrade to the pro tier, you unlock extended windows of 14 or 30 days, plus a massive payload increase. It jumps from 5 gigabytes up to 200 gigabytes per transfer with unlimited transfers.
But the crucial thing is, even if you are a paying pro user, moving, say, a massive 200 gigabyte television pilot to a studio, the data still completely vanishes at the end of that window.
It does.
And the pro tier also has these download limits, which the sources literally call self-destruct sequences. So a link permanently stops working after a specific number of downloads.
Mechanically speaking, a download limit changes a URL from a passive, always open doorway into a single use key. Once that key is turned, the lock vanishes.
Okay, I understand the security philosophy there, but let me play devil's advocate for a second. Let's look at this practically.
Sure.
If you are a freelancer or a business owner sending a final deliverable to a client, putting a 3-day expiration on that link feels like a great way to guarantee an angry email on day 4.
Oh, absolutely.
Because clients are notoriously slow to download things. They leave the link sitting in their inbox for weeks. So, I mean, isn't the whole point of the internet to preserve things forever? Why would you want to put a self-destruct sequence on your own work and force this aggressive behavioral change on your recipient?
What's fascinating here is that the forced behavioral change is precisely the point. It speaks to this deep-seated anxiety we've developed about needing to hoard data. But we have to shift our paradigm from passive physical storage to active digital security.
Okay, break that down for me.
Let's talk about the ephemeral web. Data that is sitting idle on a server indefinitely, like that client leaving a link in their inbox for a month, isn't an archive. It is a massive liability.
Why is a forgotten file a liability if it's just sitting there doing nothing?
Just look at the mechanics of modern data breaches. When a massive server compromise happens, threat actors aren't usually targeting the specific file you uploaded yesterday. They are vacuuming up millions of records at once. They steal the files you uploaded 6 years ago and completely forgot about.
Oh, right. Like old tax returns, unreleased IP, raw assets.
Confidential vendor agreements. Exactly. That is idle data. It's just a sitting duck.
Because the longer a file exists on a third-party server, the wider its window of vulnerability becomes.
Exactly. So by utilizing 3 to 30-day expirations and precise download limits, temporary data acts as a form of forced digital hygiene. The platform architecturally prevents you from accumulating a backlog of liabilities.
That makes total sense.
You share what needs to be shared.
Uh-huh.
The recipient is forced by the expiration window to actually download and secure the file locally on their own end, and then that external vulnerability automatically closes itself. The footprint is erased.
Wow, that reframes the angry client problem entirely. You aren't annoying them. You are protecting both of your businesses by ensuring confidential deliverables don't sit exposed on a cloud server for 6 months.
Exactly. It's a transition from passive storage to active hygiene.
Okay, so the outbound side of this equation is incredibly streamlined. It's safe, fast, self-cleaning. But as we know, a digital workflow isn't a one-way street.
Very true. How does this frictionless, no-account philosophy hold up when you need someone else to send you a 100 gigabyte file?
And this is historically where secure platforms create massive bottlenecks. They make it mathematically secure for you to send an encrypted file outward, but nearly impossible for external parties to send data inward without jumping through those same complex security hoops.
Right. But LessonSend addresses this with their inbound collect ecosystem, which I found super interesting, because anyone who has worked in digital media or corporate IT knows about request files links. Job folders have existed for a decade.
Right. The concept isn't new.
No. What stands out in these sources isn't the existence of the request portal itself. It's the implementation.
Yeah.
You can generate a secure request portal for your clients or vendors. But the crucial detail is the experience for the contributor.
Right.
The person dropping files into this portal for you also does not need to create an account.
And that is the defining mechanism. It's symmetrical simplicity.
Yes. They just open the link and see a prompt to add files, add folders, or drop them anywhere here.
Yeah.
It is the exact same frictionless drag and drop experience on the way in as it is on the way out.
It's remarkably consistent.
Think about it like installing a highly secure one-way Dropbox on the front porch of your business.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Anyone, a client, a contractor, outside legal counsel, can just walk up to your porch and safely deposit massive confidential documents into this box. It is encrypted and locked the moment it goes inside, but they don't need a key to your building to use it.
Right.
They're going to fill out a background check or register an ID badge with the front desk just to drop something off.
And when you look at platform design, the symmetry is absolutely vital. The sources highlight that simplicity is one of Let's Send's core pillars, right alongside security and scale. But if a platform only offers simplicity in one direction, it's basically a failure of design. Because if inbound requests required your client to create an account, verify their email, and learn some new complex user interface, you haven't actually eliminated the friction. You have simply outsourced the friction to your client.
Outsourcing the friction. That's a fantastic way to put it. Nothing stalls a project faster than forcing an external partner to troubleshoot a complicated piece of software just to hand you their work.
Exactly. So by keeping the friction at absolute zero for the contributor, the footprint stays minimal for everyone involved.
The entire system is just built on this unified philosophy of transience.
Which is actually why the final element of their platform architecture is so structurally fascinating to look at, because it introduces a very hard pivot away from transience.
Yes. I noticed this as well while reviewing the ecosystem map in the presentation. After diving this deep into self-destructing data, three-day expirations, zero account policies, and the absolute necessity of forgetting,
yeah,
there is a highly unexpected contrasting feature sitting right in the middle of the Let's Send ecosystem. They have something called the logo wall.
And the sources explicitly define it as permanent real estate.
Permanent. Users can pay a one-time fee of $5 to claim a permanent spot on a globally accessible wall of brands. And this purchase includes a dedicated profile page that links directly back to the user's external website.
Right.
Here is where it gets really interesting for me. At first glance, isn't this completely ironic? A platform whose entire philosophy is built on temporary, disappearing data is selling something called permanent real estate. How does a $5 permanent logo fit into a self-destructing ecosystem?
It seems like a contradiction, but it actually functions as a deliberate boundary. It makes complete sense when you view the platform's overarching four-part structure.
Okay, let's look at that structure.
The graphic in the sources breaks the ecosystem down into four distinct nodes surrounding that central bluebird logo. Send, receive, control, and advertise.
So sending the payload outward, receiving the inbound collection, controlling the expirations and passwords, and then advertising on the logo wall.
Exactly. This highlights a really profound distinction in how we should treat different types of digital information. We need to separate private utility data from public identity.
Walk us through the mechanical difference between those two.
Private utility data encompasses the actual files you are moving. The raw video assets, the intellectual property, unreleased financial documents, the client deliverables. That is the material that inherently requires transience.
Right.
It should self-destruct to protect your privacy and sharply limit your liability. It's just a utility. Once the tool has served its purpose and the file is delivered, the mechanism should dissolve.
Because keeping it around only introduces risk.
Precisely. However, public identity, your brand, your design studio, your production company, that operates on the exact opposite principle. A business relies on permanence. It relies on discoverability and market presence. You certainly do not want your brand's reputation to self-destruct in 7 days.
No, you definitely need that to endure.
Exactly. So yeah. Offering a $5 permanent spot on the logo wall is perfectly juxtaposing what must be fleeting against what must endure.
Oh, I see. It allows a user to plant a flag publicly while keeping the actual operations and deliverables of their business entirely invisible.
Right. It's drawing a hard line in the digital sand. It establishes the public square over here and the private self-destructing vault over there and ensures the two never cross-contaminate.
That makes perfect sense. You can pay a few dollars to be visible forever on the wall, but your actual data transfers remain shielded by a zero-account, heavily encrypted, expiring vault.
It's a highly pragmatic approach to modern digital business. Companies want to be known, but they cannot afford to be exposed.
Known, but not exposed. That is a brilliant summation of the entire platform's philosophy right there.
Yeah.
So as we synthesize everything we've covered today, what are the tangible takeaways for you, the listener, as you navigate your own digital footprint?
Well, what Let's Send demonstrates mechanically is that you no longer have to trade your privacy for operational convenience.
Exactly. By actively seeking out and leveraging tools that require absolutely zero signups, you immediately stop leaving a sprawling trail of idle, forgotten accounts across the internet.
Right.
And by enforcing tight 3 to 30 day link expirations, utilizing password gatekeeping, and implementing hard download limits on your outgoing files, you dramatically shrink your attack surface. You close the window of vulnerability.
And you can execute all of this forced digital hygiene while seamlessly scaling your transfers. Whether you are just quickly dropping a 5 gigabyte folder on the free tier or securely moving a massive 200 gigabyte payload for a client on the pro tier.
It fundamentally proves that expiring data creates a significantly safer and cleaner digital environment.
It really does. And if we can accept the premise that our personal utility files should not live forever on remote third-party servers, it leaves you with an incredibly important question to mull over regarding the rest of your digital footprint.
What's that?
Think about the sheer volume of information we generate daily. If a self-destruct sequence is the ultimate security for a file transfer, what other parts of our daily digital lives, like our direct messages, our search queries, our endless social media histories, might actually benefit from having a built-in mandatory expiration date?